You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
WGC win number 3 for Rory McIlroy as he overcomes Xander Schauffele in a playoff to claim the HSBC Champions event in Shanghai.
Xander pushed me the whole way today, or actually pushed me for all 73 holes we played together this week. You know, he birdied the last to get into the playoff, and then I produced 2 of my best shots of the day when I needed it, which was really cool. You know, I really wanted to get another win for the end of the year, and now that I've done that, it would be nice to get 2 wins.
We'll hear more from Rory McIlroy as we review the week at the Sheshan International Golf Course, as well as from others at the top of the leaderboard, including Xander Schauffele. And then we'll look ahead to the first of 3 season-ending Rolex Series events on the European Tour, with this week's action at the Turkish Airlines Open. I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined today by European Tour professional and multiple winner Jamie Spence. Hi, Jamie.
Morning, everybody.
All good. And, of course, Johnny Does It All, broadcaster, golf, equine sports, skiing, tennis, royal tennis, Rupert Bell.
You mean real tennis?
Is it real tennis?
It's real tennis.
But they're played in royal courts, aren't they, a lot of the time?
And I am a royal correspondent for a radio station.
Rupert, how are you?
Very good, thank you very much. Good day.
Yes, you're looking forward to the sort of crescendo, the end of the European Tour and how it's all going to work out?
I am, actually. I quite like the weekend. And then Dubai, happy memories of being in Dubai and the Earth course, and very pleasant place to be at the end. And the golf will be all right, too.
Now, you're very posh, Rupert, and what's worried me there about your opening gambit is I've always understood and used to make the mistake that it was Dubai. You said Dubai, but I believe it's Dubai. Jamie Spence, can you offer anything on this?
You are very pedantic when it comes to pronunciations.
Well, I live in a world of words, don't I?
Dubai.
It's Dubai, isn't it? So you can't have Dubai.
There's no J in it, Rupert, is what you're saying.
But because you're so posh, I thought, oh my God, I thought I had it right.
Well,
then I got it.
I've been going
right
to
or wrong?
Dubai or wherever since 1999.
No, it's just Dubai.
It's just Dubai.
No, Dubai.
Oh, Dubai.
Yes. That's
right.
It. Yeah. Well, Rory McIlroy's going to Dubai.
Is he?
Yes, he is. He's taking a 2-week sabbatical. He won't be going to Turkey and he won't be going to South Africa, but he will be going to Dubai. He's given himself an outside chance, Jamie, with this win.
Depends on how they get
on.
He
needs favours.
Yeah, Wiesberger, Matt Wallace, and the others who are having a game out in Turkey this week. Great event there. Justin Rose, 2-time winner, going for the 3-peat. So, yeah, it's going to change. There's huge points to be played for, which you're going to explain, aren't you? Because you know all about
these
points.
We're going to get to that. When we get to next week, yeah.
It's a great week for Rory. He said on Saturday evening if he shot another 60-70 win, he'd have been right.
It would have been his fourth 67.
Yes, incredible.
67, 67, 67, 68.
Yeah.
Birdie up the last. He won, but via a playoff, he was right. 467s would have got the job done.
And but that tee shot again let him down, didn't it?
And
Why did he suddenly do that?
Because golf is hard.
But it's a difficult shot as well. He's trying to hit that sort of squeeze.
A little leak.
Yeah, a little leak.
And he just overcooked it.
He got away with it.
I mean, you see the ball sort of bouncing and you think, oh, hello.
He would have been worried. Shave Banky was history.
Yeah.
It would have gone in the water. He could have still made 5, of course, but extraordinary player.
Great hole, Robert.
It's a great
risk-reward drama on that hole.
And the 16th, you got a chance to go for the green. Little par 4, 480 yards for these fellas. It's not even a driver.
Yeah.
And then 17 was the hardest hole of the week, the par 3. And then you've got 18th where you've got so many options. It's a really good finish to Sheshan International. I know it's one of your favourite courses on tour, Rupert.
Well, I've been there many times. Sadly, I've never been to... Do you say China or what do you say?
China's good.
Xinhua. Anyway, I've never been to China. I've been to Hong Kong.
I like this course because you've been there every year and there's a familiarity about it.
You get to
know the holes, how it plays.
Yeah.
The 8th hole, that par 5 round the corner, they have a go at that with a stream
that
in front.
That average last year, and this has never happened, never happens on the world tour anywhere, that averaged, and it started with a 6, it was 6 point something. It was the average for the hole last year.
Was it?
It was the hardest par 5 on the whole of the PGA Tour, taking the PGA Tour stats into account.
That is a good nugget.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's a good mixture of holes. Yeah. It gives you a chance, but at the same time, there's some tough par 4s and tough par 3s.
Like you guys are always going to tournaments, us people who don't go to as many, it is quite nice to feel, when you turn on the TV again, watching next to you, oh, I know that course now. and you feel comfortable.
Because you've actually been there?
But not unless you've been there. You've watched it.
I've never been to the Masters, but you know the whole...
Oh, I'll tell you all about it.
Well, I'm sure you will.
As a player or just...
No, God knows, not as a player.
I can't believe they let you in, I have to be honest.
Well... They let me in and then were thinking about throwing me up. But
you were on your mobile phone, were you?
No mobile phones at Augusta. Yeah,
exactly. No mobile phones.
No running.
Breathing, yeah. Running,
you've
smiling.
You've got to behave yourself. There's no. Let me tell you, there's no pepperoni pizza merchants at the Masters because they know they're straight out the door and they'll never come back. So everyone behaves themselves.
What's a pepperoni pizza merchant, Robert?
You hit a shot and goes, pepperoni pizza!
Oh, that's what I thought. Mashed potato.
Yeah. Mashed potato,
whatever
that's
that means,
right. Yeah, you demand.
You demand. Indoor.
Get in the hole.
Yeah.
All those things, never heard at Augusta.
Lovely.
Because you're gone.
Well, I wouldn't mind that.
And the other thing, Augusta...
I think we applaud that.
The other thing, Augusta, there's not even you're not even allowed to go on the course within the ropes as an on-course commentator.
Correct.
So it looks clean all the time. It doesn't look like there's, you know... 400 people inside the ropes. It looks really clean.
So do you prefer that?
From a broadcast point of view, I'd like the on-coursers to be able to go on there and do their work. But I do get that when you look at the three players and the three caddies, that's all you see. I mean, it's remarkable in that sense.
Yeah, and it does, that's all you
see. Sometimes it sounds and feels a bit draconian, but there's reasons why they do it. And I can tell you that the golf course, going back to your first point, when you know Augusta visually on the television because you watch it every year, when you go there and see the golf course live, you cannot believe how hilly it is.
Well, in my mind, I think I've played the course.
I understand that. But you just cannot believe how... Let's say 17 is...
I wish I hadn't brought it up now.
What?
The Masters.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because it's in April.
It's a long way to go.
It's a long way to go.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm building it up. The next major.
Yeah, you're doing well.
It's the next major.
Yeah.
And Rory will be there. And, of course, it's the one that he hasn't won.
Correct.
Now, that's a salient point.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, that's what we do on the show. It's got to make sense.
It's an ebbs and flows. There's a natural synergy.
Well, at some point, the way Rory plays, you've got to think he's going to win at Augusta. It's the first one, and there's like this pressure because it's the first one of every season.
I know he's won four times this year, but how many times do you think he's talking of tee shots... Does he want to play the one shot he would like to play again? Forget what he did this weekend or anything. Is that tee shot at the first tee shot at the Open? Is that the? Forget all the four wins. Would he give it all those up for being able?
Would he give all four wins up to hit that one tee shot?
And
absolutely
so he could
not.
Be competitive
absolutely
on his home.
Absolutely not.
How disappointed.
See, that's why they brought you in here,
it's possible.
To offer something stupid like that. I thought it was a very salient point.
It's possible.
You think he would trade?
No, because
the thing is,
you don't know what's going to happen after that, do you?
Exactly.
Even if he striped it down the middle, he still might miss the cut.
One tee shot, yeah. It was an appalling shot.
For the place that he's played all his life.
Of course, he never thought he'd ever compete for an Open Championship in his country, in Northern Ireland. The pressure of that, wanting to do the business, having played well coming into it. He was ready to rock and then opens up with an ocho.
And then so then we come to the Masters. The same pressure's building up. Will he be able to cope with that every year he doesn't win?
He's just got to go to Augusta and treat it like another event. It's just another tournament. That's what he's got to do. We know what skill set he's got.
We know how brilliant he is.
The skill set is unbelievable.
He's able to produce his game for the players this year in the FedEx final. So
I'm not saying
four
he can't.
Majors. Something you can't really define. People say, they plan their year around the majors. Well,
it's rubbish.
It's rubbish. As you see, Rory was desperate to win.
Yeah, I'll do everything right. I'm going to plan it all.
And he did.
And then
he hits his first tee shot.
It doesn't work like that.
He just don't know what's coming, really. So.
Well, that's the beauty of the sport.
It is.
Full stop.
I think he's just got to go there and relax a bit more. That's pretty much what it is. He knows that everyone's saying, is he going to be the sixth guy to have the career major collection?
Now, you sat through this all night long watching this, didn't you?
I did. You said
he left about 12 shots out there.
He could have been, I mean, he hit two tee shots in the water on day one when he shot 67, sprayed it in the water on 13, he sprayed it in the water on the 18th.
Still shot 67.
And he had a collection of drives that were 350, 360 plus right down the middle and going in, to 490-yard par fours with a wedge of some kind. If he ever improves his wedge play, because let's face it, in his career, he's going to have a lot of wedge shots. It's a simple fact. You hit it as far as he does, you're going to hit an awful lot of wedges in your career. So if he ever got to be...
But mixing up that power with that distance control over the short stuff. It's not an easy marriage, that. Because it's the reason why he hits the ball a long way.
Yes,
because
but we've seen, Dustin Johnson do it, and we've seen Tiger Woods do it. These are people that were poor wedge players, but monsters off the tee, that found a way to improve from 150 yards in. And if Rory ever does that, he shoots 35 under.
And he's still winning. Now, if you're saying he's still not quite got it right,
I'm saying he won. Yeah. I wouldn't even say.
No one's ever perfected this game.
No, you can't perfect it. But his improvement, his area for improvement, because he's putted well this year.
That was what he needed to sort out.
His area for improvement is 150 yards in. When it's a wedge, but it's not a flat out 52, or it's not a flat out 56.
But then again, Robert, so there are players in the world of golf who have to be good with the wedge. Doesn't have to be great with the wedge.
He doesn't.
You're going in with a 480-yard par four with a wedge.
Twenty feet's an excellent shot. Where the other guy's 7-iron's going.
At best, most of the time.
But then he's not...
He's not making bogey, is he?
No, but he's not taking advantage of his advantage.
I appreciate that.
I'm just saying he shot 19 under par. He had to play off with Xander Schauffele. And he didn't absolutely have his best stuff.
Well, and he knows he's got something to work on.
You've always got something to work on in this game. You've always got something.
And
it's fair to say that nobody has everything. But if Rory ever got the whole lot together in one week, he shoots 35 under.
I think he's doing quite well.
He's had a great season. There's no doubt about it.
The boy's still done good, even if he did miss that first tee shot.
Us within the game just know just how good he is. That's the thing.
He makes it look simple.
Anything done well is made to look simple.
And I also think as part of his appeal is he is imperfect. He doesn't have that. You see signs that he is fallible at times. He does make mistakes.
He's got the Irishness about him.
But he comes back.
Do you not think that's an Irish thing?
Possibly. It's a flamboyant. It's a relaxation.
He's got a kind of laconic style about him. He's not super intense on the golf course.
Yeah, no, he's not. No, Lowry's a similar mindset.
Yeah, and he's
you can see what he's you can see his emotions, and that he's not doesn't look robotic. Is that what you're the way and suddenly things go wrong?
Look, Rory's got flair. He's a flair player. Yeah. That's what he is. If he was a midfielder, he'd be the guy that could find he could thread the needle. He could do the things that most people can't do. And he can do things that most people can't do. I can't stand up and Jamie can't stand up and hit a tee shot of 340 yards down that last hole, just ripped down the middle in the playoff, and then a high-flighted 5-iron probably for him.
4-iron.
Was it in the playoff?
Perfect 4-iron, he said, yeah.
Right, so it's a 4-iron. And land it softly on the green. Now, I can't do that. Jamie can't do that.
But I can't, just not 240, about 175 maybe.
You'd need your water wings on, wouldn't you? If you'd hit 4-iron off your driver down there.
I'd have been a good layup.
You might not reach the water, exactly, yeah. Xander Schauffele, fantastic young player. He's only mid-20s. He seems to be, Jamie, when it comes to the big tournaments, a really doughty, tough competitor.
Yeah, he is.
Very able.
I wouldn't say he's flamboyant player. He's hit it down the middle, hit it on the green. Very efficient. Won this last year.
Yeah.
Been runner-up in a couple of majors already.
As a defence to play off the next year, that's amazing.
Yeah, I fancied him this week. I think the two favourites came to the fore here this week in the two of them, so it wasn't a surprise.
Well, you'll see that when we get to our picks, see who people picked, if that was the common view 7 days ago.
Well, we shall see that, shan't we? But... No, he's a really good player, Schauffele. He's just going from strength to strength. Very, very hard worker as well.
Is he the type of player... You know, they've got the flash guns in America, the Justin Thomases, Spieth, or whoever they are. He's coming under the radar and proving that he might be the one who goes ahead of them.
It's a bit like some of the new guys. Do you go with Colin Morikawa or do you go with Matt Wolf? Now, Matt Wolf's got all the flamboyance in the world with that he can hit a three with 320 yards. He can do all the things that catch the eye. But in the end, will he or Colin Morikawa have the better career? You don't know, do you? Mm. It's very difficult.
Well, he's runner-up to Tiger in the Masters, which I didn't remember because it was all about Tiger.
But Xander?
Schauffele.
He nearly won at Carnoustie. He had a chance there.
Had a great chance there with about 4 or 5 holes to play.
He did.
So he's going the right way, still a young man. He really is. He's not the Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy type figure that's sort of like they're like superheroes in golf, aren't they?
By the way, this
guy's going to do it by not making mistakes.
He's a little guy though. He's deceptively long.
Well, he is. Yeah. Listen, any of the guys at the top, give it a hit. Come on.
Yeah. Well, Rory's not that big, is he?
Rory's not a big guy.
No, so he's, as you say,
pound for pound, him and Justin Thomas are probably the two guys, the longest guys.
You don't have to be. behemoth.
No, you don't have to be a prop forward, but and Xander Schauffele certainly isn't. But right. You know, if you think he's just sort of poking it down the middle, that's not what it is.
The most flamboyant thing about him is his name.
He gives us he's got German heritage, hasn't he? And his father used to certainly coach him and be around. His father said a very interesting thing. Xander's dad said, you know, watching Xander grow up, when you're a kid and you realise you've got a talent on your hands, he said he was really intense. He just, get me to the golf course. He said, you can't take the intensity out of a child, but also, on the other hand, he said, you can't give the intensity to a child. So it's kind of a thing you either got or you haven't got. You know, that even at a young age, that drive...
Did you two have that? You must have done. You must have.
Every spare minute I spent on the golf course, every spare minute I had. Jamie, the same.
Were you a nightmare for your parents then?
Model child.
Model child.
Model child.
Okay. What's happened?
How can you be a nightmare when your parents have dropped you off the golf course and you're away out of the house for 12 hours? How can you be a nightmare?
Yeah, but they might have said, come, you know.
I think the thing is in golf, you get so many disappointments in golf, even for the top players. In this game, you have to enjoy adversity.
You have You have to learn how to lose.
You lose all 156 players most week. There's only one winner.
It is obsessive. Golf, when you're young and if you're trying to be good, it is obsessive. It's like every
hour. And how did you learn to deal with the disappointment?
Did you cry? You get up, pick yourself off the ground, and you go again.
No, we didn't. you have to, because in our day, we didn't have a team. These days, a lot of these players quite intelligently have built teams around to help them through, like Danny Willett's done. Mm. Incredible how Danny's resurrected himself, really. Yeah. But by making good decisions as well. But for every Danny Willett, there's somebody who hasn't made those decisions the right way. So it's a difficult thing. And there's going to be peaks and troughs and all
and
that
not
sort
everyone
of thing.
Can afford to do that.
No, they can't.
Well, no, that's true. I mean, it does take money to build a team and have all the ologists alongside you. It's not cheap.
Did you ever have an ologist around you?
I had several coaches along the way. I had Bob Torrance for a long time. I had nobody to start with. And then I just used to, you know, pick the players' brains around me. And if I found something that I thought might help...
Now, what would a Robert Lee have done had he been in the middle of the fairway on 18?
Just coming to that.
A middle of 18, and your name is Louis Oosthuizen, and you need an eagle.
From 240 yards to go, and I've
got... We don't know the lie.
The fairways are perfect. He's got a slightly downhill lie for his second shot. Now, there's water short and water long. He's got 240 to the pins. I'm guessing 220 the front, something like that. For him, and I know Louis, he doesn't need the money. If I'm a struggling guy, all of a sudden I find myself in a chance to make a six-figure check, I'm starting to think, what if? What if I make a six or a seven? How much will that cost me? 100, 200,000? If I'm Louis Oosthuizen, I'm pulling the trigger all day long and I'm going to try and make an eagle and get to 19 under par that Rory was. Because I'm going to back him not to make a bogey with a wedge in his hand because he's already pitched out.
The only explanation is I can't believe Louis wouldn't go for it either, but it's just the lie wasn't great. Just didn't have a club for the shot. Because it's so easy to go through the back. It was an unusual choice for him.
I'm pulling the trigger all day long. I'm going for that, even if it's a 1 or 2 in 10 chance of getting on the green.
I don't think Chip Beck. Remember the Masters when he was on the top of the hill on 15, didn't go for it. He had a little bit of mud on the ball that time.
Yes,
and he had 210. I think he had 210 the front then. And
it wasn't the distance.
It wasn't the distance, and you always look back on that. I'm sure he must look back on that moment and think, this isn't that situation.
Who's going to remember that Louis finished 30?
No, nobody.
Yeah, and if he
finishes 6th, 7th, 8th, doesn't really matter to him.
The money doesn't matter to him. No. It's about glory in the end. You knock it on the green and roll it in from 35 feet, everyone's going to remember that. Mm.
And he has got the skill sets to do it.
Of course he has. He's the most brilliant player.
I love his swing.
If you ask me what I want gorgeous. For Christmas, I want Louis Oosthuizen's swing.
I do too.
And it's something I know I won't be able to get.
I played with him when he first came out in South Africa, actually, Louis.
How long was he?
Yeah, Cape Town.
How long was he?
I couldn't believe it. It just seemed to swish away at this ball.
It's just an effortless swipe and it goes.
Straight away, you just knew there was a great
Saturday,
talent.
Saturday, Louis started his third round. Birdie, 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 and had a putt.
I thought you were going to keep going.
Yeah, I know. He got to five, didn't he?
You could have just said five birdies.
He had a putt for six in a row on the left edge of the sixth from the get-go. Mm. And he started birdie, birdie in the final round.
He's capable of winning any event.
Any event. He's a brilliant golfer.
Anyway, pathetic week for Louis Oosthuizen, just finished third.
I know, it's another big check and another big week. But
and another tractor.
He had a shot the last day. He didn't take it. I don't understand that.
Matthias Schwab finished fourth. He's had a good season.
He's had a very good season.
He's had a really good season.
He looks like a Formula One driver to me when I look at him.
He looks like a...
Maybe because he's got Red Bull in the front of his cap, but I think he looks... Does, he's got that lean, Formula One drivers build.
He reminds me of a younger version of Henrik Stenson, the way he swings, the way he plays. Hasn't quite got the charisma of Henrik, but
470s for Henrik Stenson.
Could that come?
That's quite consistent, isn't it?
Very good knowledge.
470s.
Schwab's a winner in waiting, I think.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
He's been a terrific season.
Outside the sport, people have started to hear about him and know that he's got keep an eye on this.
Well, it's quite nice when you're from a country that hasn't got many big names. So you've got Bernd Wiesberger, but name the next big Austrian.
Franz Klammer.
Very good.
Marcus Breer.
In his day, Marcus, he was a great player.
Austrian.
So that's good, isn't it?
Is it Sepp Straka who plays on the PGA Tour?
He plays PGA Tour, yeah.
You're right. So it's a small golfing nation.
Yeah, so you get a lot of attention. It's good.
It is. And also Victor Perez from France, who finished tied fourth as well, following up his Dunhill links.
Well, of course, you'll do all that in the top ten.
I know that, but I'm just saying, it'd be easy to think that would be a bit of a flash in the pan winning the Dunhill links, wouldn't it? But to come back into a big tournament like this, to have that first WGC. Fantastic performance for him.
Paul Waring's first WGC.
I'm stealing
top 10 stuff from you.
No, you can carry on with that. Good stuff for Paul. He went through some injury troubles there for so long, about 2 or 3 years, and he's come back really strong and showing what he's worth.
We've talked about some of the runners and riders. We've talked about Louis not going for it at the last, Xander Schauffele being a big-time player, but let's talk about the man who won the thing in the first place, Rory McIlroy, the world number 2. He's creeping closer to Brooks Koepka. Here he is.
Xander pushed me the whole way today, or actually pushed me for all 73 holes we played together this week. We played every round and then one more as well. He played great. You know, he was battling a flu all week as well, wasn't feeling his best. So to play the caliber of golf that he played this week, you know, takes some doing. So, you know, I don't want to take anything away from him. You know, he birdied the last to get into the playoff. And then I produced two of my best shots of the day when I needed it, which was really cool.
When you're watching it, there seems to be a flow to your game. You think, right, now he's going to put the foot down. Are there moments where you need to hit an aggressive shot, where you need to attack?
Yeah, and I felt like I did that for the most part on the back nine. You know, I hit a good shot into 13 and didn't get rewarded for it. Was able to make a birdie on 14. Felt like I hit a really good shot into 15 and went over the back of the green. It just started to get a little bit tricky and I started to struggle to get the ball close to the hole. Some good up and downs, but I played very patient golf, you know, not just today but over the weekend. You know, I went bogey free over the weekend, which was nice to do. You know, if someone had told me that on Friday night, I would have thought I wouldn't have needed a playoff to win. But you know, Xander played great, and it was a great final round to be a part of.
Okay, so you're in control. Tee shot on 18, what did you think when you hit it?
I would have taken a playoff at the, you know, as I was walking to it, I thought it was in the water. So, you know, I was thinking best case scenario, try to make a 5. Hopefully Xander doesn't make more than better than a birdie. And, you know, thankfully it stayed up and, you know, played the hole a little more stress-free. But yeah, I walking off the 18th tee, I would have taken a playoff right there and then.
This is your fourth win, and they're big wins. So it represents a great season. Plus, it's not over yet.
No, it's not over. I've got one more event left in Dubai. I want to finish the season off as well as I can. I'm playing well. I don't think my game's going to go anywhere over the next 2 weeks. So hopefully, I can turn up in Dubai and, you know, play well on a golf course that I've had success on, and really finish the year off. Hopefully, the way that I've played all year, which is consistently good golf, and. You know, I really wanted to get another win for the end of the year, and now that I've done that, it would be nice to get 2 wins.
It's great when you win, isn't it? Like that.
Yeah, it's nice. There's a lot of stuff that people don't see behind the scenes, just in terms of hard work and you know, putting hours in at home. But you know, all of that, you know, it's not work really. It's, you know, playing golf for a living. So, you know, I'd be in trouble if I did have to work for a living. But it's. You know, to practice hard and to do all the right things, and to see a payoff like this and get wins like this, you know, makes it all worthwhile.
You know, what you've got to factor in is that the Zozo the week before in Japan, when Tiger won, Rory finished third there off a very bad start. So he's gone third there and then he wins the WGC the next week, 2 weeks off, and he turns up in Dubai. Would it surprise you if he won in Dubai?
Not at all.
No.
He'll be the favourite, end of story.
Yeah, of course.
And he'll just turn up the kind of form he's in, you can't look beyond him almost. And then he might be the race to the Dubai champion.
Very good years up to the world number two spot. He's definitely got that number one spot in his sights. And Brooks has injured his knee. How serious is that? We don't know his sort of form going forward. And Rory could be the world's number one player.
And Brooks stirred the pot a little bit, saying there is no rivalry because he's not won a major since I've been on tour. That was quite interesting. he did quantify that with a few other things as well, saying
he did. But still, if you're the number one and there's a number two, there is a rivalry. It's already built in.
There is a rivalry.
It's already built in.
Yeah, listen, Rory's major performances this year weren't stellar. He missed the cut at the Open. Top 10s in the PGA and the US Open.
Yeah.
In between those. So it was a frustrating year for him in those tournaments. But it's very difficult just to make sure you bring your game to that 1 week, wherever it is, really. But he's played some excellent golf around that in some big, big tournaments.
Yeah,
won the FedEx Player of the Year over in the US, which obviously that riled Mr. Koepka, I think.
Well, yeah. Brooks Koepka won the WGC in Memphis and took out Rory easily in the final round. Then Rory got him back at the Tour Championship.
Yeah, yeah,
so that's
going to happen, isn't it?
But that already says like, it's like a bit of a rivalry.
Yeah, I think
just with those two tournaments.
And there's plenty of others just off behind them.
Let's ask the question that everyone always asks. What? Now that Rory's fresh in our mind with a third place and then a win in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. If everyone is playing their best stuff, if everyone's got their best stuff and they turn up on a given week, who's the winner?
Oh.
Because this changes. People ask this question a lot. But now Rory's very fresh in our minds with two very good weeks and a very good season. If everyone has their best possible stuff, who wins?
I'd want to see Brooks and Rory at their best going toe-for-toe in the final nine of a major.
I feel Rory's more dynamic. It depends on the golf course, I think. If the golf course requires a 30-making...
See, that's the sort of stuff I'm looking for, Rupert.
But I'm just going as a...
not what you'd like to see as Joe Punter.
As a Joe Punter, that's what you want to see. But and then I'm going to give it to Brooks.
As we're in election season...
Yes.
You didn't answer the question.
Page Black, I'll give it to Brooks.
Beth Page Black... The performance from Brooks Koepka was extraordinary. He bullied the golf course.
And
he bullied the field.
And he has and that. That's what he does. He doesn't make mistakes.
He can do that.
I don't feel. I feel you can trust Brooks isn't going to make a mistake on that sort of golf course
as
well.
He's all round game.
And we've already talked about Rory being slightly flawed and capable of throwing in a loose one.
Well, you say
I think Rory's a better shot. But Rory's a better shot.
Slightly flawed is probably harsh. Every golfer's slightly flawed. There's nobody that hasn't got a flaw. Everybody's got one.
Okay, a rough diamond. Then occasionally,
I think Rory's a Rolls Royce. I don't think I don't think he's dressed up as anything else. I think he is as good as it gets.
You see
the
where I'm coming
from.
The
nuance of what you're trying to say, I get. I think you're trying to say that sometimes watching Rory can be frustrating.
Yeah,
and I think he is as a golf watcher. Rory can be frustrating.
Let's see how Koepka gets over this injury when he comes back. I know he's had an injury as well the previous year. Let's see how he comes, because he's quite fresh still, Koepka.
Yeah.
He's what Rory was 4 or 5 years ago.
That's right.
When he was winning all his majors.
Yeah.
But
Koepka's had Rory's major run now.
He has.
He's had the up-to-date Rory McIlroy major run.
Will he keep going?
And
we don't
hard.
Know.
He won't keep going at that pace.
No.
That's for sure, because they're hard to win anyway. Mm-hmm. And to win a clutch in a short amount of time is super hard to do. So,
and he's crept.
So did I get an answer from you?
And he's crept under the radar, Koepka, as well.
Not anymore.
He's the arch politician. You haven't actually said him.
Rory.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always said Rory.
I'm inclined to go with Rory. If everyone has got their absolute best stuff, the best player in the world is Rory.
Although it's a great question
because
not an obvious answer. There's so many great players.
I could bat for Koepka easily.
And that's why there is more. You say there's no rivalry. There is definitely, and because they're slightly contrasting, I think it would be.
They're both the same age. They're both won four majors. They're both cleaning up.
If we get to the Masters and Tiger brings his A game, are they going to beat him around there?
Tiger and Augusta is like a bubble. It's a special thing. He has got a relationship with that golf course that none of the other players have.
Why is that?
Because he's clever. Because he's clever. He shut down that field as soon as Francesco Molinari, who hasn't recovered, by the way, from splashing that iron in the water at 12.
He got away with a few drives, by the way.
Who did?
Woods.
But he always does.
Well,
when the question was asked, once the door was open from the 12th hole onwards, he choked that field down.
Absolutely.
He didn't let them breathe. He put his foot on their necks and he just shut them out. It was the golf of the year.
It's course dependent, really.
The Tiger Augusta thing can be an anomaly in amongst some of the other Tiger performances. He just won his 82nd event at the Zozo. Yeah. I mean, the guy is amazing.
Put the three together then. Wow. Thank you very much.
Well, nobody beats Tiger in his prime. Nobody beats
him. In his prime, no.
Anyone. No one. Not Jack, not Arnie, not Trevino, not anybody.
But Rory, Brooks next year, bring it on.
It's very exciting for, and actually the top 10 in the world, Jamie, is very exciting.
Justin Thomas, he's a favourite, one of my favourite players to watch. Dustin Johnson's gone backwards a little bit, you'd have to say, but if he finds his
game, he's having a fallow period, isn't he?
He is, he's an incredible player. Anyway, it's great for the game for next year.
Well, it is, and you will, of course, remind us of the top 10 in the world very shortly because there has been movement. However, a few stats for Rory. It was his fourth worldwide win this season, and let's see if I can rattle through them. The Canadian Open, the Players, the Tour Championship, and, of course, this WGC that he's just won. He joins only Dustin Johnson and Tiger Woods as players to have won three of the four World Golf Championship events, and he equals Darren Clarke's record of European Tour wins by a Northern Irish player. So that will only change in Rory's favour going forward as he's a young man just into his 30s. Now, the rest of the leaderboard, let's hear from Xander Schauffele because he was superb all week long. He lost out in that playoff to Rory McIlroy, and despite his best efforts.
A good attitude doesn't make you hit at 350, but I tried, you know, I tried my best, played great. I did, you know, I beat him on the day just to get in the playoff, and a little bit of deja vu, unfortunately, I couldn't pull it off. I would have much rather played a par three for a playoff or something, you know, he's the best driver in our game. So if I was a betting man, I probably would have bet on him if we had to play the hole over and over again. But he's a great guy. Couldn't be happier for him. And, you know, like I said, I played great all week, fought. And this is just, it was nice to have a chance on the back nine. You know, Rory's, he's an elite player. You know, when he's on, I'd say he's arguably the best player in the world. And I know what he made me play better. I've played with him in Japan as well. So I've played, I think, six out of eight rounds. So he's made me better during my Asian swing, and I know what I need to do to become, you know, a better player.
Louis Oosthuizen finished two shots back in third, and here's what the South African made of his week in Shanghai.
To be honest, the way I've struggled off the tee box this week, I think I've done really well. You know, I lost it a bit on 9 and 11 today, and at 12 and 13 I had very easy putts. I pulled the one on 12 and I misread the one on 13. You know, that's the two shots I needed. But the rest of my game, except for my driving, was very good this week. I putted beautifully. Iron shots were good, so can't complain on that. I gave it a good shot, tried to make a few birdies at the end. But, you know, it's one of those. I was very inspired by how the boys played last night, the Springboks. And, you know, I thought I could go out and do it today, but unfortunately not.
Who did that interview? What about the question about the second shot to the last? Well, I think you bring him back there and put him in the same spot, and he has a crack. Yeah. You know, and it's another third for Louis Oosthuizen, and it's a good week. Of course it is, but you never know, do you? OK, Jamie, time for the top 10 in the WGC HSBC Champions.
Thank you, Robert. Let's just mention Hideki Matsuyama in 11th, playing well, the Japanese player, especially after opening with a 75. Tied 10th, Jason Kokrak, along with Paul Waring. Great week for Paul. And Patrick Reed, 7th on his own, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Tied 4th, Matthias Schwab, Victor Perez and Abraham Anther.
Anser.
Thank you, Robert. 3rd was Louis Oosthuizen. Is that right?
Yep.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Xander Schauffele.
Beautiful.
Happy with that.
Yep.
And Rory McIlroy, our champ.
We talked about Matthias Schwab and Victor Perez. Very good for those two fellas. The Europeans in general did well. By the way, Paul Waring, 65 on round 2, 66 on round 3, with a bogey at the last. He really had a hot spell of golf in the middle of this tournament, and he got off to a good start in the final round. In the end, it didn't work out like he would have wanted. It's a good finish, though, in his first WGC.
Yeah. In a very strong field to finish top 10. You snapped your hand off at the start of the week for that. Good striker of the ball.
A very good striker.
Paul Waring.
His swing is excellent.
If you go back a little bit further down the list, Robert McIntyre finished top 20, finished 17th, along with Christian Bezuidenhout. So they've both had excellent seasons.
And McIntyre in the shake-up for Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
I have shared something in common with Robert McIntyre.
Now, this is good.
We both learned our golf, and our careers have gone on slightly different paths when it comes to our golf.
Only through choice, though, not ability.
I think definitely there's ability as well. But Glen Cruton Golf Club in Oban is where I learnt my golf.
Oban's a lovely place. It's on the far west side of Scotland. You can get the little ferry across to Mull.
Correct.
And then you can go beyond Mull, and there's another little ferry that goes to Iona.
Correct.
Have you been to Iona? I bet you have.
We had a boat and we travelled around the island. So anyway, my childhood is irrelevant, but Glen Cruton Golf Club is where I learned it. And there's next to the Shinty Ground. in Oban.
Yeah, where he played Shinty.
Gaelic game. So he played Shinty, and then he would go along to the golf course. I wouldn't play Shinty, but I'd go to the golf course, and I was delighted to see that Glenn Cruton Golf Club is on the map.
Lovely. Rob,
and he's playing well.
And what a lovely aside. We wouldn't have had that unless you were here.
Correct.
Jamie, yes. We're going to move on now. Because, I mean, this is all lovely, yeah. But there's so much
Monica
more stuff.
Monica the Glen,
that's right. We've got to get more stuff into the show. And it's your turn again to shine. We want the European Ryder Cup points list at this early stage, please.
Yes, Ryder Cup points list. Well, on the European points...
Four positions to play for.
Four on the European. Rory McIlroy, number one. Victor Perez, two. Danny Willett, three. And Wiesberger, four. Then we go on to the world points. And we go down to number four. It's John Rahm, who's first on that list, followed by Matthew Fitzpatrick, Paul Waring, Rafa Cabrera-Bow, Matthew Southgate, plus three captain's picks, of course. How many of those nine will be there at Whistling
Straits?
We ask
this question all the time. Do you think that's the team?
I've got
five,
maybe six. It's not the team.
No, but you've got your six bankers in there.
I've got five, possibly six.
Yeah.
So we will see. It's a little game we can all play.
Five?
I've got five.
Oh.
What have you got?
Three, I would say. Bankers.
Very good.
Rahm, Willett and McIlroy. Who are you putting in there, then?
It's Fitzpatrick.
I think he's probably going to make the team, yeah. I'll go along with that.
Wiesberger, I think.
Rahm for sure, McIlroy for sure, Wiesberger.
Cabrera-Bow's got a point to prove. He's just missed out last time. Anyway, all these conversations.
Yeah, we'll have a better idea next September.
Correct.
Yes, we will.
We'll have a better idea after the race to Dubai.
Will we now?
With all the points.
Will we
now? They're up for grabs, as you know.
Will we now? We'll be getting into that very shortly. Last week's predictions. You might have thought it was obvious to pick Rory. Well, I always go last. So I'm just going to say, in terms of Eels and Millerick, who were my guests last week, you get 20 points for a win, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, but minus 5 for a missed cut. There was no cut at the WGC HSBC Champions. Paul Eels went for Matt Wallace, Justin Harding, 60th and 53rd, 0 points. Adrian Millerick went for Bob McIntyre and Henrik Stenson, both inside the top 20, 10 points. And I went for Rory and Tony Finau. Tony didn't get me any points, but Rory got me 20. So the grand total is presenters up to 190, guests move to 150, co-presenters stay on 145. So the battle for second spot is only 5 points the diff. You are under pressure this week, Rupert. With only three tournaments to go.
Three
tournaments to go. In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, Lee Findlay is still the global leader. He captained Rory McIlroy last week. Antoine Lancret got the most points from the WGC event in China. If you want to get involved, you can by heading to europeantour.com and registering your team. But if you haven't done that yet with only three tournaments to go, you might as well get keyed up for the start of next season, I reckon.
Correct.
I've had a poor season, I have to be honest.
Poor picking season?
Schauffele and McIlroy were in my team, but I think they must have been in everybody's team.
You would have thought.
I would have thought.
Who was your captain?
Schauffele.
I went for Rory's captain. But anyway, I didn't feature in the bold lettering here, so didn't do any good in that. Jamie, top 10 in the race to Dubai, please.
Well, I'm going to mention the top 11. Because,
well, please do.
Because Danny Willett, the PGA champ, is number 11. He still has a chance to win the race to Dubai. He's about 1,900 points behind, so he's still got a good chance, and he's playing in Turkey. Number 10, Erik van Rooyen. Terrific season for him, as is Robert McIntyre at number 9. Louis Oosthuizen, he's number 8. He goes along his business nice and quietly, doesn't he, Louis? Number 7 is Tommy Fleetwood. Matt Wallace is 6. He's playing this week in Turkey. Rory McIlroy moved up 28 spots to number 5. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 4. The Open champ, Shane Lowry, is 3. John Rahm, he's number 2. And our number 1 is Bernd Wiesberger.
Where would Louis have been if he'd knocked it on the green and holed the putt for an eagle and then won the playoff?
I don't know, but a lot higher.
A lot higher, yes, absolutely a lot higher. In other news, world number 525, Brendan Todd carded a 9 under par. That'll get the job done. Final round of 62 to win his second PGA Tour title, a 4-shot win at the inaugural Bermuda Championship. They must have had a filter on. I saw some of the coverage. The colour of the sea there was just outrageously turquoise.
Mm.
It was unbelievable.
The course looked like a carpet to me. I only watched
a carpet.
It just looked beautifully prepared.
Mint condition.
Yes,
okay.
Just looked fantastic.
Yeah, it did.
Looked artificial.
And quite up and down Dale,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Very much so.
Very up and down. A lot of par threes into the wind, but downhill. They're always quite tricky. I know you've never had a problem with those, Rupert, but heavy
well,
wind.
There seemed to be a lot of water to the left of one or two of the greens.
A heavy headwind and a big drop down to the green.
Oh, dear.
Always difficult to get right.
We got one of those at Broadway.
Yeah. The 34-year-old American won the 2014 Byron Nelson Championship. That was his first win, and now he's had a second win and a sort of resurgence in his career, really, which brings brings us on to the top 10 in the world, please, Jamie Spence.
Yes, Bryson DeChambeau has crawled his way into number 10. Number 9, Xander Schauffele. Justin Rose, he's at 8. Down to number 7 is Tiger Woods. Taking his place at 6 is Patrick Cantlay. The top 5 are the same. John Rahm is 5th. Justin Thomas, number 4. Dustin Johnson, 3. Rory's number 2. Number 1 is Brooks Koepka. There's only about a point between them.
Yeah, it's pretty tight up there, that's for sure. Now, make sure you keep an eye on the European Challenge Tour this week, as it's the Challenge Tour Grand Final in Mallorca. Callum Hill, Francesco Laporta and Richard Bland are the top 3 on the Road to Mallorca standings. And the top 15, of course, earn their card, a full card, for next season on the European Tour.
Big week, Rob.
It's a massive week, particularly if you're in sort of 20th spot and you know that a great week's going to get you inside that top 15. Huge week.
It's up for grabs for all of them, and that getting one of those cards is a huge thing. Challenge Tour graduates done very well this year.
A whole season, week in, week out, in the grind. Yeah. It does prepare you for a year on the European Tour. There's no doubt about it.
More and more so.
Absolutely. And
special mention has to go to Richard Bland, who's gone back out there in his 40s.
And he's winless in Seattle. He's winless in Seattle and still
rededicated himself, and for him to...
Great effort.
Brilliant effort.
It's a mental slog, that, isn't it? I mean, because you're not playing in front
of... Not as a young man, because I think it's an opportunity. I think the older you get, it does become...
You see it as a road to somewhere when you're
success.
Young. That's right. This is your springboard when you're young. When you're Richard Bland's age, in your mid-40s, and you sort of might have played your best golf, you don't know, to go back to the Challenge Tour and dig deep like he has done, and he's got his car for next year, which is great. How much would he love a win, to win something somewhere?
He's come close in the final before, actually.
Callum Hill's had a great season. Hmm. Another young Scot that's going to make his way on the European Tour. And it's a battle at the top there. It's really good. It's a really good event, the final round, the final event on the Challenge Tour season. And, of course, this year it's in Mallorca, and it's there for the next few years. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, really, really good news. And it was announced last week that Mount Juliet will host next year's Irish Open, the first time since 1995. I played in that then. Did you play there, Mount Juliet?
I haven't played it, no.
It's nice. It's very nice. Oh, I think if I didn't win, I finished second. It was one of those.
You got 240 into the...
I can't. Again.
Oh, not again. Turkish Airlines Open is, of course, the first of the last three massive Rolex Series events that polishes off the 2019 season on European Tour. Well, Justin Rose won this event in 2017 and 18. He's going for a hat-trick on a different course. This year, we're at the Montgomery Max Royal course, which we played before, Jamie.
Yes, we have. Brooks Koepka won his first...
Koepka.
Was it his first win? I think it was, Turkey, on the European Tour.
It was his first because he'd won three times on the Challenge Tour
and then he won this, 2014, and
won a massive event at the end, and then he went to the States, and the rest is history.
Victor Dubuisson won here as well. Did I say that right?
Yeah, beautiful.
Excellent. He's playing much better, Dubuisson, I have to say. And he could,
The talent factor, Jamie, is through the roof with him.
But it's between ears, isn't it?
His interest seems to be up. So
that's
of course
great.
He's won before.
That's what he needs.
Twice. He could do really well.
Designed by Colin Montgomery. I mean, did he design it? Did he get the wellies on? Did he just sort of sign the piece of paper at the bottom?
Every hole goes left to right.
Yeah. All left to right. All cutters,
all left to right,
they're all cutters. Beautiful. European Golf Design alongside Monty did that. 2008 is when it opened. Mm. It's about just over 7,000 yards long, 7,100 yards. Yeah. That's not long, today's game.
No, it's not.
Five par fives. So we're going to see lots of birdies.
Yeah. You've been there before, haven't you?
No, I haven't. I am going.
I'm with you.
We're going out there tomorrow. First thing.
What time are you getting up for an early flight?
Very early.
It's 4
but we're
something,
looking forward
isn't it?
To it.
Is it? What numbers does it start with, the time you're getting up?
4.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it
might even start with a 3.
The golf course, it's a risk and reward golf course, Jamie.
Yeah, it is. Some fantastic golf courses down there on the coast in Belek, and this is one of them. Great. It's a resort course, really, but it's better than that with the pine trees and the lakes. It's fantastic. Visually,
it's very pretty.
Very, very pretty. So we're gonna have a great week, and it's a good field as well.
Give us a flavour, Rupert. Who's playing in the field?
Well, I've got the list here. Well, Bernd Wiesberger, Justin Rose, obviously, Shane Lowry. What's he done since the Open?
He's enjoyed himself, and good for him. How often do you become champion golfer of the year? Absolutely. Shane's right.
And Matt Wallace, he's played a lot of golf. Could he be running on empty?
Well, he's got plenty of energy, Matt Wallace. Lowry played well in the Zozo, didn't he, the other week? I think played better. But it's difficult. Imagine winning the Open Championship on your home course.
It takes a while to get used to that.
It takes a while.
He's Irish. He's done it properly, and good on him.
Absolutely. My friend Robert.
He might win another 5 Opens. He might never win one again. So your first one, you have to enjoy it. Embrace it.
And
make sure you remember it.
Well, can he remember it?
I think there'd be a little bit of blur in there, but I tell you what,
it was a joy to watch him.
Didn't he win it in style?
My friend Robert McIntyre, the revitalised Danny Willett.
Now, when you say your friend, you sort of dropped that in there. He's not really your friend, is he? Have you even met Robert McIntyre?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have met him, okay.
And I passed this little nugget on.
And did you have this sort of, you know, your symbiosis with him?
It's basically one of those, shut up, Rupert, from Robert McIntyre, probably. But his manager was suitably interested.
Excellent.
Danny Willett, obviously revitalised. Victor Perez, Francesco Molinari, want to see him start finding some form. Lee Westwood, still battling away, and Nicholas Kolsarts, he's revitalised too a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. I remember when he went in that Ryder Cup, when he was absolutely brilliant, and you talked about...
But he just won, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I know, but you've got him, Victor Dubuisson, Vic.
So you can go Dubuisson, but you can't go Dubai.
Well, anyway, good to see them finding some form again, because they promised so much, and then it just hasn't quite happened for them.
So we're going to have two picks each. There's no outside...
Listen, let's butt in.
There's no outside last year's top 50 deal with the three events to come.
Oh, so we can just go whatever we like.
So you can just have two. But we're going to go...
That changes things.
We're going to go in rotation.
Okay.
So you can't go two, and then he can't have two of yours that you pick. So you go first.
Right.
You can have any two you want, but you get your first pick, and then Jamie goes. We're going to rotate.
My first pick is Tyrrell Hatton.
Good pick.
Because he finished really well last
year. Likes, of course.
He finished well after a slow start in the HSBC. He won a 72 and a 73. Finishes with something in a 65. Moves in top 14. Just feel he might find some form. This is usually his time of year. Plays all right. So I'm going to go for him as my first pick. Is that all right?
That's perfect.
Very good. You persuaded me.
Jamie?
It's not easy, is it? It's not easy.
See, normally at this stage, you've got them all down pat. You've got them. Now you're actually
I'll tell you what I'm going to pick.
We talked about Mull near Oban.
I'll tell you what I'm going to pick is somebody who can still win the race.
Don't tell us. We won't have a clue, will
we? Someone who can still win the race to Dubai, but he had an 84 in the second round.
Matt Wallace.
Yes, I'm going to go for Matt Wallace. Under par every round. But he shot 84 round two.
It was...
Don't know what happened
He had a 10. Pretty sure he had a 10 at the eighth.
Well, something happened extraordinary. But he broke par after that. So...
He just had one of those mental switch-off games.
It's a golf course that suits an aggressive type of player, so he's my first pick, Matt Wallace.
Matt Wallace is your first pick. It's a star-studded field. It's very difficult. I'm in agreement with you to pick someone that you think... Now, Justin Rose is in the field.
So are you going to be predictable?
Well, I picked Rory last week, and now, funny enough, once you've won, you come in the studio
now
the week
pressure's
after...
On.
Funny enough, once you've picked the winner, you don't get any flack. But you get the flak when you pick them at the time.
Right.
Now, Justin's season, Tita Greeny was like the best player ever, and then he didn't hold many putts. And now it seems like he's not playing as well, Tita Greeny, as he was, and he's putting better. It's a question of him stringing the whole thing together.
So he's your pick?
So he's my pick.
Okay. Right.
Justin Rose.
Rupert, you get another one.
Yeah, you get another one.
I'm going to go... Is George Coetzee at left field? He's just won in South Africa this week.
No, you can pick who you like.
Well, I'm going for
George.
You
don't have to justify it, even.
I'm going for George Coetzee, as a sort of outsider.
Like it.
Obviously, that would have been... it was on the South African tour. I think he won an event this week. And I just think, time zone-wise, he might be in a better zone because he's only got to go up. I'm going to give George Coetzee. It's a slight... I don't know why that's seen as a left field, but for
not
a top five...
Not at all.
No, it's good. Very good player.
My second pick.
It's so hard to pick a winner. It really is. It doesn't matter what the name is. It's really hard to pick the winner, Jamie. Mm.
My second pick is Patrick Reed. Finished top 10 last week.
He had a good final last round.
I do worry about the travel.
Of course, it's a final last round.
I think Rupert brings up a salient point.
Going from China to Turkey?
Yeah.
It won't be that bad.
And I think, they did have a flight.
What is it?
Straight to Antalya.
What's the time difference? 4 hours?
6 hours. Isn't it?
What was it from here for us?
It's about 5 hours. It's
five not hours. Flight journey. I'm talking about
time difference. About five. China's minimum
eight.
Five.
China's eight.
They can't be 5 hours forward of us. Turkey.
Turkey's 2 hours.
So it's a 6 hour time change.
Okay, so that's significant, yeah.
So that does concern. But these guys seem to be able to produce it whenever they want, really. Yeah, they're my two.
Yeah.
Reed and Wallace.
I'm going to go for Danny Willett.
Willett and Rose, our Olympic competitors back in Rio. That's who you're going for.
Well, of course.
Good choice.
Isn't that interesting that the Olympics, the first time around, you were involved in it, Jamie. There are a few sort of naysayers. Now, everybody, including Tiger Woods, wants to play in the next Olympics.
Because it's where it is, also, where a golf-mad country, and where they, you feel that it's going to be part of... When they brought tennis into the Olympics, they really felt it came alive when it was at Wimbledon because it had some history. Until then, the players were not so keen. Now it's... When it went to Wimbledon in 2012, it transformed tennis' role within the Olympics. And I think when it goes to Japan, that will be its defining and really...
Not easy to get in the teams.
No.
It's not that simple.
Inside the top 20 in the world, you can have up to four. One
top
country
15.
Can have up to four. Is it 15?
Mm.
I thought it was 20.
Well, that's what it was last time, unless they've changed. I think it's top 15, you get up to four max.
Yeah.
Of course, America will have four players. There's always four Americans in the top 15.
But you'll have,
15.
Otherwise, it's the top
otherwise,
two.
Otherwise, you'll get two.
There's no picking your mate. It's just the top two in the world rankings.
And why couldn't they have had a mixed team competition?
Time. It's a two-week period, the Olympics, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to have the men's and women's as a serious event over the four rounds. I think they missed a trick, actually, because you want to take golf to a different audience. It's a longer conversation than we've got now. But
sure.
It's just like the European Tour. You've got the event in Sweden, haven't
you? We could have gone somewhere else. We could have gone somewhere else with it. I think we could have had two three-rounders and a two-rounder mixed or something.
I quite like the mixed relay.
Yeah. There's a debate, but that's...
It's a big debate. I think going forward there will be some element of a mixed, I would have to think.
So, as we were talking about, now we're into the Turkish event and the last run-up to Dubai, Jamie. Rory McIlroy, because he won the WGC, there are so many points available. There's 1,500 points available for the winner here in Turkey. Rory's not playing that. He's not playing in Nedbank, and there's 1,665 points available for the winner there, and then 2,000 points available for the winner of Dubai. So it means a lot of people, if results go their way, Jamie, can still be the top dog in Europe.
Well, it could take it out of Rory's hands, of course. Wiesberger wins here.
But he needs things to go his way.
But it's unlikely, I'd say. I think going into Dubai, we're still going to have a number of players able to win because they've stacked the points heavily towards the end. So, there's plenty to play for. And
it keeps
not
it all
easy,
alive, doesn't it? It keeps it all alive.
It does keep it alive. And there's players there who've never won a race to Dubai, the top three or four, is it?
It's quite nice to hold that trophy as the best player
Fantastic.
In Europe, isn't it?
What a feat to be able to do that.
Could you carry that smugness into Christmas, do you think? If Rupert Bell, the champion golfer of the year in the European Tour, the number one head honcho in the whole of the tour, and you're holding up that trophy in Dubai, do you think you could keep that feeling, that smug feeling, all the way to the turkey?
All that work at Glencruachan Golf Club has come to fruition.
I think it would feel pretty good.
It would feel amazing. So you're the experts then. Who's winning it then? Who's going to be lifting up that trophy?
Oh, of the whole lot?
Yeah, the whole shebang.
Well, there's just too many variables between those that make a big check in Turkey or those that win in Turkey or those that win at Nedbank. It's too... Right now, you can't call it. Who do I think is going to win Dubai, though?
Mm.
I think that's already done.
Well, you... Yeah. Rory.
Yeah.
I think John Rahm will have something to say about that.
I'm with Jamie here.
Good. Mm.
So...
I believe John's only going to be in Dubai as well.
Yeah, but he's
ahead of Rory.
He's a long way ahead of Rory. So,
if Wiesberger goes and has a big week this week, it might take it out of everyone's hands.
Yeah, possible.
Had a chance at the WGC, didn't he? And big events that count for a lot of points. But it's three to go. This is where you have to turn it on. Basically, if you're playing all three, that's the whole idea. You turn up at the big events, you turn it on, and you get what you deserve.
And he's turned it on quite well this year, though, hasn't he?
Wiesberger's had an amazing comeback, considering his injury and rust and everything else, and he comes out and multi-winner, two Rolex Series
exactly.
events.
Exactly.
He's had an amazing year. He really has. Jamie's putting his papers away now.
He thinks he's...
I can't listen to you two anymore.
I'm done.
Thanks, Jamie. I did my best.
So, we're happy. We're happy with the way it's all going to work out. Yes? Yes? You like the staggering of the points and the big prizes being given to the guys who win?
I don't... Coming outside, from an outsider looking in, you go...
You're very much outside the glass, Rupert.
I'm outside looking in, and you go, how does the point system work? It changes for this, but you've got to get your head around it. And, OK, you can work out the permutations that Rory... What's he win if he wins?
When we get to the last tournament, which is where, Rupert?
At the Jumeirah Gulf Estates, the Earth Course in the Middle East.
And what's the name of the place that it is?
It's in Dubai.
Yes, when we get there...
yeah.
All the permutations will be very clear.
Yeah.
We'll know what's on offer, we'll know where everyone stands and who needs what to happen. Until that point, there's just too many things that can happen.
But for everyone, we want a lot to be able to happen.
A lot will happen. A lot will happen this week in Turkey, and Jamie and I will be there on the ground, won't we?
Oh, we will.
Enjoy
wandering
it, boys.
The fairways.
Yeah. You're wandering the fairways, are you?
Wandering the fairways.
That's a beautiful thing, that really is. I mean, what could be better, Rupert? November here in Old Blighty. And there's Jamie wandering the fairways. 27 degrees it's going to be all week long in Turkey. He'll have his little peak cap on.
Shorts.
And his backpack.
Shorts.
Maybe. He might have shorts, actually. Will you have shorts on, Jamie?
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Maybe. He might. By now, I would think they'd be out of bounds post, would they?
They are, yeah.
They
yeah.
are. And then what's the point of tanning him up for 1 week?
Not much.
A couple of weeks. He's not really any point, is
no.
it? No.
Enjoy the week, boys.
It's going to be a very good week. And what are you doing next week?
I'm going to Verona.
Of course you are, yeah.
But I will be watching Jamie in his shorts.
Are you flying front or back of the bus?
I think I'm in the loose.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Well, listen, make sure you at least come in on a phono next week and tell us how you got in Verona. How long does it last for?
2 days.
So it's a two-day sprint, and then you got the rest of the week off?
No, I've got a few other things to do this week.
Talk about the life of the rich and privileged.
I'm unbelievable.
I'm going to
Exeter Races tomorrow.
Exeter Races. You've got a wedding to go to as well, have you?
No, not this week.
Excellent. That's it for now. Remember, you can stay up to date with the latest news via europeantour.com and the official European Tour app, as well as Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Next week, we will have a full review of the Turkish Airlines Open, and we'll look ahead to the European Tour season's penultimate event, the Nedbank Golf Challenge, hosted by Gary Player down at the Gary Player Country Club. It's a beautiful place in South Africa. It really is Sun City. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for
Matt Wallace and Patrick Reed.
And for young Rupert Bell, who's looking forward to the curtain closer in, where is it going to be?
Dubai.
Yes, you've gone for
Tyrrell Hatton and George Coetzee.
Myself, Robert Lee, has gone for Justin Rose and Danny Willett. We'll see you next time.